Good vach, everybody. This is Dr. Stuart Dercheck. I just wanted to spend a few minutes tonight to express some issues that have come up and things that need to be talked about by us as a community and really as a people, because there are some things happening that are beyond belief. And the intent of this voice note is to be disseminated to Jews all over the world so they could have a relook at how we've been behaving and what the impact has been on this by this pandemic on our community and how it's ravaging our loved ones. As you all know, there are secret minyanim going on everywhere. Borough Park, Williamsburg, here in Flatbush. Here in Flatbush, it's particularly painful because some of them are within a few blocks of my home. There's a secret minyan that's been going on East 28th Street between Quentin and Orr. They were so proud the other day that they actually visited a 96-year-old Holocaust survivor to duchen for him, and apparently Davin Yisker with him on the porch. The minyan on East 34th between Avenue, I believe it's K&L or L&M here in the other side of Nostrand Avenue, has been going on every day as well. They call it a porch minyan, but many people congregate. I was just called by one of the local rabbanim here that apparently over Shabbos today, not only was there a minyan, but there was a kiddush with over 30 people who attended with drinking and everything. So let me tell you where I was today while these minyanim were happening. I was in NYU in Maimonides. I was present for Yetzias Neshama, or the departing of the soul, for three people in the last 36 hours, one of them that I knew. And I actually was with them at the moment that they passed. One of them was mamish during davening today, about 11 in the morning. Yesterday at NYU, I got a phone call while I was making rounds, a panic call, that in Lakewood, Reb Malkiel Cutler, the Rosh Yeshiva of BMG, was putting out a letter with three doctors on the letter that they were going to figure out with the state how to safely conduct porch and then backyard minyanim, and et cetera, et cetera. Even though the Rabbanim in Lakewood appropriately issued a psak last week that there could be no backyard or porch minyanim, period. Thank you to those Rabbanim. Well, apparently BMG decided that the time was right to revisit that, and they put three physicians' names on there. I only called one of them, who openly told me he didn't agree to put his name on there, but it was complicated for him not to have his name on there. I asked him what that meant, and he was very vague. I said, why don't you publicly put out a statement that you never added your name to that letter? And his answer was, Dr. Dercheck, it's complicated. What that told me is that there were being maneuvers or efforts by certain rabbanim there or affiliated with the people who put out the letter, who were actually either intimidating him and the other doctors. It wasn't clear. I never had such a conversation in my career. That letter I saw was published right before Shabbos. I immediately called my Das Torah, Harav David Cohn, who you're all familiar with, and I felt terrible bothering him Erev Shabbos. He's an elderly gentleman himself and his wife, and he certainly needs no more tzuris and abbas nefesh. He suffered terribly through this. And I called him. I said, Rebbe, I apologize for burdening you with this, but this is a letter they're putting out from BMG. He immediately called one of the Rabbanim in Lakewood. He conferenced me. He put me on speaker with that Rav. The Rav said, Reb David, it's not us. This is the BMG crowd. They're behind this, not the Rabbanim. The Rabbanim are uniformly in agreement that there should be none of these minyanim. Reb David was emotional and passionate with him, imploring them not to do this, that it would cost human lives. The conversation took about 10 minutes. I tucked myself into what's a family area where families sit in between the two ICUs. And there were two women standing outside the family area. One of them had been called to pick up her mother's belongings because things were going in the wrong direction before Shabbos. The other was a woman whose mother, unfortunately, was in the room across the way, who was also near end of life. And one of the women came over, asked me if I would visit her mother over Shabbos, which I did, and keep her updated. The other woman said to me, "Dr. Dietrich, I overheard the conversation you just had on the phone, and I want you to tell people this." She's a Hasidish woman. She said, "I want you to know that when I hear this, it's Eicha." She said, "It's the time of Eicha." And she said to me, "I recall that during that time, it's written that mothers ate their children. They were so hungry." She said, "When I hear you pleading with the Rabbanim, it reminds me of that." But she said, "There's one difference here. Nobody's hungry. The supermarkets are full, Baruch Hashem. We have food in abundance. We just finished Yontif with as much as we want to eat. So where's the hunger here? The hunger to go attend the minyan? Tell these people that what they're doing is worse than that. It's worse than what went on during the Chorban." That was her message to all of you who are having minyanim right now. The Tashi Rebbe, I had the privilege of meeting with the Tashi Rebbe many times. He was a confidant. I spoke to him. I got brachas from him. And the Tashi Rebbe, Mr. Nyman, who had passed away a number of years ago, was one of the people who grew up with the Tashi in Europe. And Mr. Nyman himself told me a story, which I confirmed with the Gabbaim, that during the war, when the Tashi Rebbe was in a camp, one of the concentration camps, the work camp actually, not a concentration camp, the Tashi Rebbe, the first Yontif or Shabbos that they were in the camp, the guards came in to make everybody go to work from the barracks. And the Rebbe told them, "You all go out and work. It's Shabbos. You have to work in order to remain alive. I'm going to stay in and daven beyichidus and daven for Klal Yisrael." And in the middle of Shmona Esrei Musaf, the guards, while doing their head count, realized that they were missing one. They walked into the barrack, and there was the Holy Tashi Rebbe, much younger, obviously. And they took him by the back of his collar. They dragged him out, and on each wooden step that led out of the barrack, the guards smashed the Rebbe's head into the step violently, each step. And when they dragged him in front of the group, the officer immediately took out his leather whip and he was going to beat the Rebbe to death as an example. And he lifted his arm up to swing it down at the tush. And as he swung his arm down, Mr. Nyman said, this German animal collapsed on the floor. They immediately, the other soldiers, picked him up and woke him up and wiped off all the dirt from his uniform. And they looked at him and they said, "Okay, do you want us to just shoot this Jew?" And the officer said, no, "If this crazy Jew wants to stay in the barracks and pray, let him pray. The rest will go to work." And from that moment on, the Tush spent every Shabbos and every Yontif in that work camp davening b'yichidus for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, while his friends and relatives went to work on Shabbos to save themselves. My friends, if that is not pertinent to what's going on now, nothing is. Nothing. Those of you who are having minyanim now, who are having kedeshim, who are laughing at the statistics and at the experience, what we're seeing, the death and destruction that you're causing by having these minyanim, you are cowards. Every one of you are cowards. And shame on you and shame on your wives for allowing you to leave and go to those minyanim. And I want your wives to hear this voice memo. And I want them to sit you down and tell you, as proper wives in Klal Yisrael, that you're not going to allow it anymore. You're allowing your husbands to be rodefs. Today, there was a study published from Massachusetts where they're much less affected than we are. They don't have nearly the number of cases we have in New York and New Jersey. And they studied, they did it, they went through 200 people, just general people who weren't sick and they did COVID swabs on them, and 30 or 35% were positive with no symptoms walking around. Those of you who went to Minyanim this week, 30 to 35% of you at the very least were positive, and you're passing it to other people who are then getting sick and dying or horribly suffering in the hospitals. I am there every day. I have no immunity. I was tested by one of the facilities recently, and I have zero immunity. So while you were davening and courageously or cowardly sneaking around to get a minion, I was walking into that hospital to help people keep updated and come up with things, strategies that would help other people. So you're all cowards, and you all deserve to be admonished. And when this is over, nobody should be mashadach with you people. Nobody should allow you into their shuls. Nobody should welcome you to their simchas. You need to be, there's a price that needs to be paid, not only in this world, but in the world to come, because you're killing us and you're killing our people. So stop this craziness. Stop these minyanim immediately. Do tshuva. Publicly acknowledge that you did the wrong thing. The lashon hara that's been disseminated about me personally from people, three people in my shul, who I know who they are, and I've spoken to the rabbi, and disgusting people. Stop it now. You're killing our brothers, you're killing our sisters, and you're killing our future. You must stop the lashon hara. You must stop these secret minyanim, and you must acknowledge that you've done wrong and pray that Hashem is going to give you the ability to do tshuva. Pray that it's not one of your parents that ends up in the ICU that I have to go visit. Thank you.